Okay, so after our session on syncretism this morning, we're going to have a little mashup session here. Jennifer McPhail is going to be delivering the material that was prepared by Mrs. Patterson because she, as Dr. Patterson mentioned, is struggling with pneumonia. It's been an ongoing trial this whole semester. Anyway, she sent her notes, and Jennifer's worked on that, and so she's going to be presenting Mrs. Patterson's material. And I am so excited about this session. I've been really looking forward to it since I found out that it was going to happen. I kind of take credit for it, I guess. Maybe other people suggested it, but this is what I wrote on the evaluation form last year. We need to hear more from this lady. I'm not glad that she's not here, but it does make it a little less awkward for me to give this glowing introduction. I love Mrs. Patterson. I look at her as such a gift to GFA, and I just want to hear everything that she has to teach us. She is a godly woman who really challenges me every time I talk to her to do better, to strive to be better in ministry and in my personal walk, and does all that without ever making me feel like a loser. She's relatable and very free in sharing her own struggles. But her ministry heart for ladies is so obvious, and I love hearing her describe, you know, when she goes to her region and talking about my ladies and the effort that she makes to have one-on-one time with all of them. And I found myself thinking, well, that is how I want to be on my field visits, where people just feel like they can open up with me and I can have conversations that really edify them, mutually edifying, but that the Lord would use me to be an encouragement to the ladies in my region, the ladies that I am ministering to. So I thought, I want to hear her strategies, I want to know her secrets, and hear her heart. So when I found out that she was preparing this session, I was really looking forward to hearing it. So I can't wait to hear what she has for us in here. And I also love hearing Jennifer speak, so this is just the best. This is going to be great.
Yes, I have a feeling that Jan is going to be unhappy with all the glowing praise that goes into her not being here. But I second what Andrea said. Both Dr. and Mrs. Patterson have been wonderful examples of asking intriguing questions that get to the heart of what someone is dealing with, going through, needing to work out in their lives. And I'm so thankful that she's tackling this today for us. I have her manuscript, and apparently this is the way that she likes to present, so I don't have to do much more than read it, and I'll try to do a really good job of reading with expression. But one of the things that she really wanted us to do was to have a time at the end where each of you have an opportunity to share either how someone else asking you a good question made an impact on your life, or a time when the Lord gave you a good question or questions that you were able to ask someone else that kind of opened up an opportunity for you for either evangelism or edification or something in the area of counseling. So go ahead and be thinking about that as we get started. But let's open with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your holy word. We thank you for the many questions that you use from the very beginning in Genesis all the way through your word, and how your word just pierces to the very heart of our needs. And we pray that you would help us to learn to be women of understanding who can really draw out the heart of others and be a source of encouragement and edification as you would have us to be. Bless us in our time together. In Jesus' name, amen. So this session is called Be a Question Lady. And the idea for this title came from Jan's sister-in-law, Debbie Talbert, who went to be with the Lord 2 years ago this month. They were very close, but due to the physical distance between here and Alberta, much of the communication was written, text, emails. Neither one of them was really good with long phone calls. Debbie was good with words, but she was succinct and put things concisely and clearly. So Jan's problem with that was that Debbie would give a one-liner about something going on or about a family member and leave out the details. So Jan got in the habit of throwing out questions to get more information or clarity. So Debbie started calling Jan the question lady. Jan just wanted to understand. So we're not talking here about being nosy or overly curious or too detailed in your question asking. And Jan doesn't want to hold herself up as some kind of model or example in this way. But as you work with people, we all need to be learning about this aspect of communication. Personally, this has been a journey for me that God really brought to my attention with the regional director ministry. So I thought it was interesting that Andrea mentioned that too, and wanting to learn from what Jan has learned. Asking questions to get to know someone better or to help someone in a mentoring or counseling situation is an important aspect of friendship and of ministry. So, how do we know what to ask? Well, there are many ways that you can get information nowadays. If you look online, there are endless sites that give lists of questions to ask in various situations. For example, some of the search results. Random questions to ask people, the best list. How to ask better questions. How to ask great questions. How to ask questions the smart way. 35 questions mentors should ask their mentees. 231 deep questions to ask. 275 deep questions. 425 must try, get to know you questions, the ultimate list. That's the actual title of one result. And the list goes on and on. And some of these may prove helpful. Many have to do with things like talking to strangers at a party or in work situations, which would not apply to what we're talking about today. It's worth checking out a couple just for ideas for those of us who struggle with knowing what kinds of things to ask. Jan found this website, calm.com, that has an article called Questions to Ask to Get to Know Someone More Deeply, and some examples of questions in that article. How do you spend your free time? What are your hobbies and how did you get into them? What goal are you working toward right now? I wanted to share a book that I read this year that was really helpful for me. And I do not consider myself a great conversationalist, so this book was very helpful. It's called The Six Conversations, Pathways to Connecting in an Age of Isolation and Incivility. And the author of that is Heather, I think you say whole man, but it might be holy man, H-O-L-L-E-M-A-N. That was a very helpful book. But we can go and find resources like this. There are different types of questions, different kinds of situations, and we need to learn to ask appropriate questions in the right kinds of situations. We want to know questions for developing relationships, to get to know someone better without digging too deeply. Mentoring questions, when we are trying to encourage someone, usually younger than we are, in their daily or their Christian life. And there's always somebody younger than you that you can have the right kinds of mentoring questions to ask. Evangelizing questions. Questions to turn conversations, to probe. But again, not too deeply. I would call these intriguing questions, to get someone to think more deeply about something they may rarely consider. And again, I think of another couple books that may be helpful. Questioning Evangelism. and another book, Evangelism for the Faint-Hearted, that talks a lot about asking the right kinds of questions in evangelism. And then there's questions for counseling when someone comes to you for help. So what are the characteristics of a question lady? Before we get into the more specific things about types of questions themselves, we need to talk about us. What are we and why do we ask questions? Obviously, like what we've been talking about throughout this conference, what we are is of primary importance. In 2 Corinthians 6, verse 6 and 7, Paul commends himself to others by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, the Holy Spirit, genuine love, by truthful speech, and the power of God. I want to hone in there on genuine love. This is how Paul worked with others and how we too commend ourselves to others as friends, co-workers, counselors, would-be shepherdesses, even as family members. These qualities, and many are in Galatians 5, are the fruit of the Holy Spirit in us. And we are trying to mature in this Christian love, this genuine love for others. And as we do, who we are will develop into good question asking because of what love does. So what we are, number one. And number two, a very basic need is curiosity. We should simply be interested in others. And that's what love will lead to, right? A strong interest in others and less self-interest. There are benefits of sincere curiosity, benefits to ourselves as well as to others. Curiosity strengthens relationships. It helps us to be more open-minded and understand other people and other ideas better. You see how that would be? As you're curious about others, you're opening your mind and heart to understand them. It can take us out of our comfort zone by stretching our understanding and enabling us to be more resourceful. And it increases our empathy, which leads us into number three, empathy. Asking good questions demonstrates that you truly care. Sincerely caring and showing interest shows in our attitudes as we converse. So think of someone that you know that asks good questions, someone that you like to talk to because they listen to you. Their sincere care and their interest shows their love, their empathy. It demonstrates that we are willing to learn about others. And it can show that we, the questioner, don't know everything, which we don't. But empathy has a side of deep humility about it, because as you're asking questions, you're not making assumptions about what the other person is thinking, about their motivations. You're really working to understand. So that leads us to number four, being a good listener, which would perhaps be at the top of our list. And when I think of Jan Patterson and other people in my life who have shown their good listening skills, I think of James 1:19, quick to hear, slow to speak. A good listener is not only careful with her questions, but also patient. All of us like to talk about ourselves. So we need practice to be slow to speak. When we ask questions, we need to patiently listen with interest, not be thinking of the next thing that we want to say. I know that we're all guilty of this at times, but I know also we've been in conversations where the person on the other side, we can tell they're not actually listening to what we're saying. They're just preparing their next round. So we don't want to be like that. Genuine love shows we ought to manifest or feel a true desire to learn how a person is doing, spiritually or generally, depending on the situation. This requires that we be sensitive in how deep we dig without being intrusive. Now, this is the second time that we've heard this idea of we don't want to go too deep. And I think that this is something that I struggle with, crossing cultures, and maybe even the fact that often as missionaries, we know that we're only going to have 1.5 days together. And there's this deep, panicky need to go really deep, really fast. But learning that discernment for asking good questions and not going too deep, too quickly with people, I would say I think that that only comes with practice and being willing to make some mistakes, being willing to step out there and ask questions and then apologize when you realize you've overstepped your bounds. A good listener is not one who preaches or is ready to give his or her own opinions and experiences. Remember, we are to be good questioners and listeners. Of course, when appropriate, it can be helpful to share your own struggles or difficulties so the person you are conversing with doesn't feel alone in a dilemma that they're having. So again, this is a discernment issue, but it's not wrong to share from your own heart, even while you're trying to be a good listener, but you kind of have to develop that sense to know when it's appropriate. Jan says this, Alan and I have noticed over the years, in perhaps even the majority of conversations, how few people actually ask very much. They just answer questions and stop, or sometimes they might keep talking, elaborating, or going off on related topics. But many do not show mutual interest. I thought this was a really good point. When we give ourselves to this kind of spirit-filled love that leads to good questions, there is a bit of sacrifice that may be involved if the other person is just has a great need to share and yet they're not going to reciprocate necessarily in the relationship with mutual questions. We find this a lot of times on the field because our people there accept ministry from us, but they don't necessarily feel the liberty to minister back. It takes a very special person to overcome the barriers that are there between our Western, more affluent, more educated culture and theirs. And so oftentimes it's a lot of giving that opportunity for them to speak, for them to answer good questions, and being willing to just lay down that right of having someone else listening to you. She says, but don't let that surprise or discourage you. Just keep asking. And I love how thinking about Christ's love for us and his willingness to just continually have us go to him can encourage us in being that kind of person to someone else. Number 5, one final aspect of being a good question lady is remembering our purpose in talking and fellowshipping with others, and that purpose is edification. So Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. We want information and a good relationship with others, but we do want to always be a spiritual encourager and edifier. We especially don't want to be just nosy or make a way for our own thoughts. And now we get to the heart of what you all want to know, because this is my favorite part of what I read in these notes. Asking questions in counseling or mentoring. And Proverbs 20, verse 5 says, the thoughts and purposes in a man's heart are like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. So we need God's help in being a woman of understanding. We want to draw out the thoughts and purposes in the other person's heart. We don't want to sound like an interrogator. We must ask the right questions to get a person to talk, because as most of us know, talking is often the best way for us to figure things out for ourselves. at least for women. We get better clarity and see a situation as we give it voice. I really like that. We get better clarity and see a situation as we give it voice. And actually, asking questions helps a person learn more because they have to think for themselves rather than listen to our eloquent lecture, as you listen to my lecture without. So what kinds of things do we ask or not ask? And Jan has garnered much of this from counseling training courses and books, and many of you have taken some of these courses. Here's just a few examples of those that commonly are used. Accusations or assumptions can harden the heart. Gentle, kind questions draw it out and sometimes prick the conscience. So even when you see a really glaring error or fault, the right question can often lead to a spirit of willingness to listen and lead to repentance, rather than when we just go for the jugular with strong confrontational statements. Questions such as, can you explain, encourage openness, rather than questions that are really direct, like why or why not? Example questions to get to a person's true feelings or motives. Can you help me understand what you mean by this? Or how does that make you feel? How did you come to that conclusion? Don't feel like you have to write all these questions down. These notes will be available on the website with the session. Why do you feel it is really important? And then can you think of a verse or two that could direct you in this situation? So remind the person that you're talking to that she actually has Christ, assuming it's a Christian you're talking to, through the Holy Spirit dwelling within her. This is a really important point for me to remember. Often as I'm dealing with my becoming adult children, it's easy for me to get panicky. And whenever I get panicky, I start lecturing. And it's so much better to remember that the Holy Spirit is working in their life and that he's doing something, and we can be used of the Lord to help ask a good question to point out what he's doing. I have a very dear, dear friend on the mission field, Cambodian lady, married to a professing Christian who has rejected and turned away from Christ for a number of years now and has made her life very, very difficult. Recently, at the Christmas program, I was able to talk to her, and in tears, she expressed that she really wanted to divorce him. And this is one of those times where I felt a sense of panic. And yet, the Lord had been working on me about this issue. And so instead of just lighting into her, I asked her, what do you think God wants you to do? Because she was saying, I feel like, I want to, these kinds of things. I was like, what do you think God wants you to do? And it made her stop and think. She didn't answer with the biblical answer right away, but it made her stop and think. And that needs to be more of our kind of way to handle things when we're talking to somebody about something tough like that. Have her think through the consequences of various options that would help in whatever she is dealing with, such as, what might happen if? And my husband asked one of those kinds of questions because there are children involved in the marriage. What would happen if you followed this path? What would happen to your mother in the home if you took this path? So listen well and listen carefully. I might even say listen deeply, because sometimes what a person says isn't exactly what they mean. So that's another thing. When someone's speaking to us and they are speaking emotionally or answering a question off the cuff, we shouldn't just take what they say in one statement at face value. We need to ask more questions, gather more information. Also, don't be thinking of what you want to say again or your own experience. Remember, gentle questions draw a person out. So here are some sample questions for deepening Christian relationships. Tell me about your family, your background. What do you enjoy in your spare time when not specifically ministering? Do you have any role models? Jan is always interested in others' aids to a better devotional life. So you can ask questions like, how do you memorize? How do you get through your Bible reading or organize your prayer time? What do you enjoy most about your ministry? Those kinds of questions are hard for me to answer, but they definitely lead to good discussion. What's been a particular blessing or hardship recently? Just flying into Greenville and being a part of our church here for a very brief period of time, I have found that questions like this are very helpful for getting into somebody's life. Like, what's a burden for you right now? I only get to see you in the foyer twice a year. So what's something that's a burden on your heart right now that I could pray about? Do you have anyone in your life that is difficult? That's a good question. Someone that's difficult to be with, someone that's difficult to talk to, or maybe someone who's difficult to know how to help. And a big question would be, what do you want most right now in your life? That really gets to the jugular of what people are thinking and dealing with. You know, Jesus asked a lot of questions. Jan said that she has done a study through Matthew on the questions of our Lord. And my husband is actually doing, going through the scriptures and just highlighting all of the questions that there are in scripture. And his document is really, really long right now. But he said it's a very fascinating study. But you can learn a lot by seeing what our Lord asked. He asked a lot of rhetorical questions. So not every question that you ask needs to have an answer right then and there. You could ask it, notice that the person registered it, and that they're thinking, and then move on. He also asked questions that challenged the hearer's faith, their life values, and their heart attitudes. He asked questions that corrected false assumptions. He asked rebuking questions, and the list goes on. Jesus' questions were often interspersed in his parables, and both the stories and his questions, the purpose was to get his hearers to think, to reason. So this even made me think about the opportunities that we have to share something from our own lives with the person that we're asking questions of. It's more about what is the purpose of what we're sharing. We're just looking for a way to vent and be able to talk about ourselves, or are we using the sharing from our own lives to be an edification, an encouragement, or even a rebuke to someone else? So here we are at the point where we would like to have an opportunity to give personal examples of how questions have helped you in a situation. And Andrew, would you mind manning the mic for the question that either a question that someone asked you that really helped you, or a time when you were able to ask a question that opened up an opportunity for you to be a blessing?
is just a question from secondhand experience. So my sister, when she entered Christian school, one of the first questions when she had the interview with the principal was, what is your salvation testimony? And she had never been asked, she was just asked, what is your testimony? And she had never been asked that before. And the Lord used that later on, just a couple weeks after that, the seventh grade class went to the wilds and she got saved that week. And she had, because she had been thinking over those weeks, like, I don't have one. She didn't have anything to say to him. So just that simple question, what is, for her, she hadn't come from a Christian background to know exactly what all it was supposed to be. But that same type of concept of asking someone, depending on the context, what their story is in Christ could help prompt whether they are a believer or not.
Yeah. That's one of those good evangelism questions.
After I came back from Papua New Guinea, I wrestled through, whether or not to go back for several years. And a really clarifying question was, when you say you're interested in missions, what do you mean by that? And the person kind of, filled in the blank a little bit. Like, do you mean I love evangelism? Do you mean you love cross-cultural evangelism? And then pointed out that, if it's evangelism, there's lots of opportunities here in the States. And that was a really helpful thing in directing my path and challenging me to, okay, there's lots of opportunities for evangelism here. Mm. So let's do that. Let's focus on that.
That's really helpful.
This one I learned from my husband, but with our kids, if they are in trouble for something, learning to ask them what was going on in your heart when you did that. Mm. Not just dealing with the surface level, you were unkind or you fill in the blank, whatever they did, but what was going on in your heart that motivated that, that thing that they're in trouble for, and helping them try to see down to the root.
About how old do they need to be to be able to answer that?
That's a good question. I'm not sure. I've done it with our older two. I'm not sure I have. Our older two are 10 and 8.
Okay.
Then we have 5, 3, and 1. I'm not sure I ever have with the 5-year-old. So.
That's really good measure.
But, depending on the 5-year-old.
And I know it's a good question for all of us. So.
I've had somebody ask me, what does this show you about yourself, when I've described to them a situation or something, and I'm thinking all about the other person who offended me or something like that, and not thinking at all about myself.
Oh, yes.
And ask, what does this show you about yourself? I think it's similar to what was going on in your heart. It's been really helpful.
So especially in a time of conflict or complaining or whatever.
Yeah.
Just when the focus is on something else, helping that person think about what it means. Yeah. That's really good. Similar to that, when I was here, we're not at the Wilds. When I was at the Wilds at CIT, one of the questions that they asked was, is there anyone in your life that has hurt you? And wow, that it opened up a can of worms in my life and revealed some bitterness that I had no idea that I had. And I thought that was a great question. And for me, it was really pretty life-changing.
This is pretty simple, but I was wanting to interact more with the PNG ladies, just try to encourage them in more spontaneous moments. And one thing that I tried to do, like after Sunday morning, we're just walking out of church, and I would either ask, you know, how can I pray for you this week, or what challenges did you have this week, or what challenges are you facing this week, or what scripture has encouraged you this week? And so just trying just a little, you know, hook out there, because sometimes they won't talk or they won't volunteer, but I've been surprised how many answers I get, and just opens up conversations, ways to pray, interactions, and just trying to be more consistent in ministering even in the spontaneous moments.
Yes.
This is another decision-making question that my dad a lot of times uses is, like, if you don't do that, what's your plan B? What's the other option? Like, you're saying, what would happen if? What's your other option? Or he'll say, can you make it multiple choice for me? Maybe because he's a teacher. But, you know, you're talking about this thing over here, but if you don't do that, what are the other options? It just helps me to clarify what are the options.
Yeah. Help you keep an open mind other than just only one thing.
I remember Esther Neal at Mount Calvary we were talking about Spanish, and when I'm speaking Spanish, it's like volleyball where you just want it on their side of the net as much as possible because I can listen. But she said, and in Spanish, just like in English, how are you is basically a greeting. It's not so much a question. And she said, I just sometimes say, instead of how are you, I say, how have you been? And I have noticed when I'll do that, it really changes the way people respond to me. I get a much, you know, much fuller picture of how they really are and just how are you.
That's a really good tip.
This question, I guess, really opened my eyes and during my, what do you call that? Debriefing, or whatever that's called now. Forrest asked, are your ministries still fulfilling? I just thought that was a very good question, and it really led me to be able to speak about one that wasn't fulfilling. It was my biggest frustration, and it was just kind of clarifying for me. So I thought that
that's
was a good question.
I'm going to go back and listen to these. Write them down. Is this like when you go too deep?
What you should not do. And I'm sorry to say that I'm the one who should not have done. So I was in a church Bible study, and when I was young and foolish. And there was a lady there who was very vocally negative toward her daughter marrying a certain man. And you could tell that there was just like, you know, it was one of those prayer requests. Please pray that my daughter will not marry this man. And I have this, I suppose being a teacher, I hate a void, a vacuum. Like right now. So I felt like I should rush in where everybody else was not going because they were much smarter than I. And there was a very long, it just sort of like sat out there. And I said in my, I don't know what, if the Lord should tell you that you should support your daughter in this decision that she's making, would you be willing to do so?
Wow.
Plunk. And this woman said, no.
Oh, wow, then what do you do?
Well, there's nothing you can do. I mean, you know, it's like, I mean, I didn't think it was an unreasonable question, because she had, it was one of those requests that you went on and on about, please pray that this won't happen, please ask the Lord not to let this happen. And I'm thinking, well, what if he does? So, you know, I don't know that I went too deeply, but I probably should have kept my mouth shut. So it wasn't a gentle question. How about that?
So maybe, like, don't back people into a corner.
Yes. Don't
they feel like they can't get out.
So don't, you know, do as I say, not as I did.
These are really good. Keep sharing.
So Sarah Hartwig actually asked me this one, in the context of, like, seeking the Lord's will. Mm-hmm. And in thinking about moving forward with the decisions, she said, to move forward in this, what, like, hindrances in your own spirit would you have to overcome, or, like, what confirmations would you have to see? And that was just really a good one to be like, oh, let me think through that. And
so in thinking through a decision, mm-hmm. what hindrances in your spirit would you have to overcome, mm-hmm. or what confirmations would you need mm-hmm. to see in order to be able to move forward?
Yes.
Okay, that's good. I imagine that was not easy to answer either.
So I got a lot of this from my uncle, who's a coach, and he asks, he's a life coach, so he asks a lot of questions. And so there was one opportunity I had to help another person with some things that they were struggling with in life personally. And so I asked, what would be your end goal? Like, what do you want to see? And so she kind of gave some examples, and I was like, okay, well, what are those steps to help you succeed into where you're looking forward to? So those were, and it was really cool to see how it didn't really seem that anybody had asked her that before, and she felt help, like, cared for almost. And that was really cool to see God use a simple conversation to just build that friendship a little bit. So
I'm sorry, Michaela, did you get to know later how that had helped her move towards that goal? Did thinking it out loud in those steps make a difference?
I was able to kind of see later on and follow up, like, okay, how are those steps going for you? And there were some things that she hadn't implemented yet, and I could tell, but she was making progress, so that was really cool to see.
That's very encouraging.
I should be thankful in the last session, and one of the last sessions, that Dr. Patterson didn't do a session on the problems that they've had to deal with single missionaries. That was one thing that came to mind. I had challenges. I was working under a national pastor in Lebanon, and just really thankful for the opportunities that I had serving under him, but there were challenges too. There were some fairly significant challenges. And bless the Patterson's heart, they were the ones that got to hear about them probably more than anybody else. And they were very gracious with me, but there were two specific points I came to, once with Dr. Patterson, once with Mrs. Patterson, where it's just kind of an underlying, and I would say this one that stuck out to me is not necessarily a question, but it was kind of more roundabout, more what could have been phrased as a question. It was sort of like, I'm hearing a lot of the problems, and I'm not hearing from you yet anything you're grateful about from this particular pastor. And so that really, the Lord really used that and the surrounding of, I must confess my initial response was, he doesn't understand, but the Lord really used that to help me realize, okay, there really is an underlying problem here. And it was also part of what the Lord used me to help me come around to, how am I going to deal with this? Taking a list of the problems and what I have to be thankful about in this situation, tearing up the problems and thanking it, making a practice of thanking God for the helpful things in the situation that helped me get through that time period. Really just the Lord gave a release, a deliverance of the great frustration that had built up inside. Wow. I was really grateful for that.
Oh, that's wonderful. Anybody else?
Okay, I just wanted to read the conclusion here and tell you just a little bit more about the Six Conversations book for anyone here who would like a little bit more help with developing good conversational skills. So Jan hopes that something in this study will help you in your ministries. Perhaps several of you already have had counseling training or degrees, but we can all continue to develop more meaningful relationships, and wise questioning is often a big part of that. So let's grow together and keep iron sharpening iron conversations and questions. The book that I recommended, The Six Conversations, is a book that gives you kind of what we were talking about earlier, the principles of conversations. So the six conversations are six different areas of being human that you can think of and develop questions in those areas that fit your own style or the situation that you're in. And I found this book very helpful because it worked at it from that angle, so I didn't have to like memorize, you know, a list of good questions things like that. And it also helps you stay away from those kinds of questions that only lead to a yes or no answer, the kind that will lead into more. The lady is a professing believer, but she's a professor at Notre Dame, and she's not necessarily in our circles. So I'll give a little disclaimer about that. And she tries to kind of write her book towards both her unbelieving colleagues and the Christian community, and that's kind of hard to do. But she does have a really good Bible-centered chapter right at the very end. Okay, that is all I have, and it's 10:02. So.